WMLU 91.3 FM is proud to have brought you the preceding segments of WMRA's programming of NPR. Please stay tuned for student programming. For information about shows and times, please check the web at www.wmlu.org. The statements, views, and opinions contained on this radio show are those of the DJs and are not endorsed by, nor do they reflect, the opinions of WMLU, WMRA, or Longwood University. You're currently listening to WMLU Student Programming. For the latest on news and weather and NPR programming, head to WMRA.org. For on-campus and community news, we encourage you to head to the Rotunda Online, home of Longwood University News. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
You are listening to WMLU Farmville 91.3 FM, the music of Longwood University and Farmville, Virginia. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all know how the saying goes, all good things must come to an end. Today will be the final episode of The Red Zone, brought to you, as always, by your loving host, Nick Robinson, after 4 long years. Today is the end, but we're going to make it the best series finale possible. Any other series finale of any other like sitcom that you've seen is all going to pale in comparison compared to this. We got the latest news from the Kentucky Derby, because something noteworthy actually happened at the Kentucky Derby this year. We got the latest in Longwood sports news, as always. Got the USFL going on, the NHL playoffs, and the NBA playoffs are in full swing. We're going to talk about that. The MLB season is well underway. We're going to talk about that too. All that and more coming up on the final episode of The Red Zone. That is always Serious by the Alan Parsons Project to kick off the show. And usually we start the show off with Longwood sports news, but we'll actually get to Longwood sports in a little bit, because just literally an hour ago we got some breaking news out of the national sports scene. And that was from Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, with the 148th running of the Kentucky Derby. Now, I've talked about the Kentucky Derby probably once in the 4-year history of this show, but you might want to listen to this, and you won't wonder why I'm talking about the Kentucky Derby today. So, the winner of the Kentucky Derby was a horse named Rich Strike. And if you don't, and obviously not a lot of you are probably paying attention to the race, so I'll tell you why. Rich Strike was an 80-1 odds to win the Kentucky Derby. He was entered into the race at the last possible minute, literally yesterday. He was entered into the race yesterday and won the Kentucky Derby today. It was the second largest odds, the second biggest upset in the history of the Kentucky Derby. The only bigger upset was from Donner Rail way back in 1913. So the biggest upset in the Kentucky Derby in over 100 years just happened about an hour ago, with Rich Strike winning, coming in at 80-1 odds. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, for the people who actually bet money on that horse, oh my God, they are probably pinching themselves. They're so happy right now. I would be too. Or 80-1 odds to actually win? I mean, you got to be kidding me. And then, And then if you were watching and you stayed tuned for after the race, you could see the success immediately got to Rich Strike's head. He was biting the other horse that was riding next to him at the end. He was pulling on his reins and stuff. He was fighting the trainer horse that was like next to him after the race. I'm sitting there watching going, is that Will Smith's horse? But the Preakness Stakes, which is the next race in the Triple Crown, is in 2 weeks up there in Baltimore. And we'll see if Rich Strike can repeat. If he pulled one upset, he can probably pull another one. And that actually is going to lead us into our next segment. I wasn't going to do this segment also until about an hour ago when Rich Strike won the Kentucky Derby. We're going to go over Business Insider's list of the top sports ups, the top upsets, the greatest upsets in sports history. Because this might be up there. It's not top 10 probably. I mean, it will be if Rich Strike ends up winning the Triple Crown. But I feel like from now on, when they're going to talk about sports upsets, Rich Strike's win at the 2022 Kentucky Derby might, and I'm saying might, be on that list. But now we're going to look and see what Business Insider has as their best upsets in sports history. We're going to start off, we're going to throw it all the way back to 1969, Super Bowl III, the New York Jets defeating the, at the time, Baltimore Colts. And this was way back before the NFC, the NFL was one league. This was before the AFL merged with the NFL and just had the AFC and NFC. Because back then, the AFL was its own separate league, and the champions of both leagues would face off in the Super Bowl. And so the New York Jets were the AFL champions, the Baltimore Colts were the NFL champions, and the AFL had gotten its butt kicked in the first two Super Bowls, courtesy of the Green Bay Packers whooping up on the Chiefs and the Raiders. And then Super Bowl III came around, and the AFL was thought to be inferior to the NFL, until Jets quarterback Joe Namath, who, not to rain on the parade here of this story, I do think Joe Namath was the most overrated quarterback of all time, but still, it was because of this moment that people deified him. Joe Namath guaranteed that the New York Jets would beat the Baltimore Colts, and they did, 16-7. Capping off one of the biggest upsets in sports history, top five upsets, in my opinion, in NFL history. Next up, we're going to go to Lake Placid in 1980. The Miracle on Ice, a team of U.S. college kids, beat the Soviet hockey team at the 1980 Winter Olympics. Coming in at next up, we have the 1983 NCAA tournament, a national championship game. Coach Jimmy V and the NC State Wolfpack upset the highly favored Houston Cougars, who were led by NBA legends Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon. They had their Phi Slamma Jamma offense, and people didn't think you could stop that until Jimmy V and the Wolfpack came along, and they won the game on a alley-oop to Lorenzo Charles, and NC State captured the national championship in upset fashion in 83. We're going to stick with national championship upsets for our next upset. 1985, Villanova upset a Patrick Ewing-led Georgetown team, and Villanova was an 8 seed in the tournament that year. It was the first time until this year. It didn't happen again until this year that an 8 seed made it all the way to the national championship game when UNC went this year. But that was still considered one of the biggest upsets in NCAA tournament history and sports history, the 1985 national championship game. Now we're going to move on to 1990, into the boxing ring, when Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson. He was one of the most dangerous fighters in the ring at the time, and Douglas knocked him out in 93 seconds. Buster Douglas was a 42-1 underdog. and he pounded Mike Tyson into submission. Next up, we got the 1994 NBA playoffs with the 8-seed Denver Nuggets upsetting the number one Seattle Supersonics out there in the West. Dikembe Mutombo led the number 8-seed Denver Nuggets to a victory over the top-seeded Supersonics, who are now the Oklahoma City Thunder, in the NBA playoffs in 1994. It was the first time that the Nuggets had beaten a 1-seed in the playoffs, and they won in 5. Next up on the list, we have the 2004 European Cup. Greece won the European Soccer Cup in 2004 without a single star player, and they got by on defense, and it says ferociously outworking their opponents. They defeated defending champion France in the Czech Republic in the knockout stage, and then in their victory in the final, they defeated a team armed with none other than Cristiano Ronaldo. So it was still a big upset there for Greece in 2004. Next up, we're going to move to 2007 college football. Number 5 Michigan being upset by Appalachian State in week 1 of the 2007 season. Appalachian State came to the Big House and beat the 5th-ranked Wolverines by a final score of 34-32. And Appalachian State it was the first time that a ranked FBS team had ever lost to an FCS team in college football history. And it's happened a few times since then, but rarely ever does the FCS team upset the FBS team. Usually the FCS team is just there to get beat up on and get paid to do it. But not Appalachian State on that day in front of 109,000 fans. Next up, cover your ears if you're a Patriots fan. We got the 2007 Super Bowl, the New York Giants defeating the 18-0 New England Patriots off of a game-winning catch from David Tyree at the end. Or not a game-winning catch. David Tyree making the catch on a third down that set up Plaxico Burress for the game-winning touchdown. And the Patriots' undefeated season was no more. Next up, we got 2012. Chelsea defeating Bayern Munich in the Champions League final. Chelsea were huge underdogs in the 2012 Champions League final, and which was played in Bayern Munich's home stadium in Germany, giving Bayern Munich an even bigger advantage than they originally thought. And then they were down a goal with under 5 minutes to play, and they tied it, and then they won the game in penalty kicks. And that was Business Insider's list of the top upsets in sports history. Maybe one day we'll see Fritz Strike on that list. We will be right back with the Red Zone series finale after a quick public service announcement.
Domestic and sexual violence can happen to anyone, anywhere. It can include physical, emotional, and financial abuse, as well as sexual assault, harassment, and non-consensual touching. You are not alone. Southside Center for Violence Prevention offers counseling, advocacy, education, and safe emergency shelter. They empower survivors, help to create a community free from violence, and offer help to anyone affected by sexual or domestic violence, regardless of age, gender, sexual orientation, or culture. All services are free and confidential. Volunteer and financial assistance is always needed and welcome. Visit scvpcares.org for more information. Again, that's scvpcares.org.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. As always, I am your host, Nick Robinson, and now we will be starting the Longwood Sports segment, starting with baseball. They are coming into, they came into today on a weekend series with USC Upstate, and they lost today at noon at home. They lost 15-6. And that loss dropped the baseball team to 19-26 on the season. And they don't have very many games left. But, that's why USC Upstate scored 9 runs in the opening inning. And Longwood just couldn't keep up. That's perfect way to lose a baseball game. Let the other team score 9 runs in the opening inning. But Longwood will have a chance to get some payback on the Spartans tomorrow when they host them at 1 o'clock over at Buddy Bolding Stadium. And they will travel to UVA on Wednesday. They'll travel to Radford next weekend before ending the regular season at home. Graduation weekend against Charleston Southern before the Big South Conference tournament begins after that. That's kind of... I'm curious as to how they do that. Like, what about the seniors who are graduating? Like, will they play in the Big South tournament, which takes place after graduation? Like, I wonder how does that work? Because they're not students anymore. They've literally graduated. But I'll have to look up how that rule works. Because I assume they can't just tell all the seniors, okay, you guys aren't playing because you've graduated now. Spring sports are funny. Next up, we got Longwood softball. They are on a roll lately. After having their past couple games canceled against UVA and James Madison, they have since rattled off 5 straight wins, and they've only given up 7 runs in those 5 games. They completely blanked Gardner-Webb last weekend, beating them 6-0, 2-0, and 7-0 in their weekend series. And they have a weekend series against Winthrop this weekend. And they won a doubleheader today, winning the first game by a final score of 7-4. So we're going to analyze that one first. Jaden Pone, the Fab freshman for Longwood, came in and she was the star of the day. She had 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 RBI. Sydney Jacobson had 3 RBIs, and that helped Longwood to a 7-4 win. Then over in game 2, they also won by a final score of 6-3 after having 2 solid innings in the 3rd and 4th, where they scored 2 innings in the 3rd and 4 runs in the 4th. And those were all the runs they needed. And they will finish their weekend series tomorrow at 1 o'clock against Winthrop. And then they will begin Big South tournament play, which will be played right here in Farmville. Longwood will be hosting the Big South softball tournament. And that will kick off this Wednesday with the opening round. And then it'll be all wrapped up by next Saturday. That was your update on Longwood Sports News. It's been a pleasure to cover Longwood Sports over the last 4 years. I've had the pleasure of speaking with 5 Longwood athletes, 4 of them being men's basketball players, but still it was fun having athletes on the show. I remember the first athlete I ever had on the show was a classmate of mine, Mads Pfeiffer, who was on the men's soccer team, and that went pretty well. I then got the confidence to say I can talk to anybody on the show, so I brought on Isaiah Walton, who was the star player for the men's basketball team my freshman year. Yeah, that's how old I am, folks. Isaiah Walton was on the basketball team when I first started this show. And then, COVID happened, and I couldn't really get, I had one more athlete before COVID. I had another men's basketball star, Jordan Cintron, who my suite mate knew, and he actually was there with me and Jack on the final episode of my freshman year. That was a great way to end season 1. And then COVID hit, and I couldn't really have anybody on the show. They weren't letting athletes out really for any reason other than game day. And then I finally got two athletes on the show this year when the men's basketball team was on their historic run. I was able to talk to Deshaun Wade and Nate Litteris, who will both be back next year. I can't wait to see how the men's basketball team builds off of their success. Those two were a great interview. Interviewing both of them at once wasn't as hard as I thought. And so, yeah, it was a pleasure over the last 4 years to interview Longwood's great student athletes. And keeping up with the theme of final performances, I was actually able to find this list on GameDayNews.com of the greatest final games in sports history, the greatest final performances in sports history. So we're going to start off 2005 with Reggie Miller in his final game, shooting 4 3-pointers in his way to score 27 points in a game that the Pacers lost, but it was still a great performance from Reggie Miller in his last game. Then we're just going to hop up 1 year in 2006 with Jerome Bettis. The final game of his career was Super Bowl 40, in which the Steelers defeated the Seahawks by a final score of 21-10. And Jerome Bettis had 43 yards on 14 carries. And the Super Bowl win capped off a great career for Jerome Bettis, putting him as arguably the best running back in Steelers history, definitely right up there with Franco Harris. And we'll see if Najee Harris ends up being on that list before it's all said and done. Next up, we got Wilt Chamberlain in 1973. He was the first NBA player to ever average 50 points a game during season. And then in his final game in 1973, he notched a double-double against the Knicks, scoring 23 points and 21 rebounds, and then calling it a career. Next up, we got move up to 2008. Mike Messina, absolute workhorse for the Baltimore Orioles and New York Yankees over the course of his career. The right-hander had never won 20 games as a starter. And then in his final game, his final season in 2008, it was remarkable. He won his 20th game in his final start, and he was named to the MLB Hall of Fame in January 2019. Next up, we got Pelé, arguably the greatest soccer player to ever live, in 1977. He played for Santos in his native Brazil, made 92 total appearances for the Brazilian national team, and they won 3 World Cups while they had Pelé playing for them. And then at the end of his career, he played for a team called the New York Cosmos. He helped popularize the sport of soccer in the U.S., and in a friendly matchup against his old club, Los Santos, he scored on a free kick from 30 yards away. And then next up, we have Lisa Leslie in 2009. She became the first woman to ever dunk in the WNBA and was well known, even the most casual of fans. She was one of the most sought-after prospects ever. She spent her entire career with the Los Angeles Sparks. 3-time MVP, scored 22 points and 9 rebounds in the 2009 WNBA Western Conference playoffs. Next up, we got Ray Lewis, one of the greatest running backs to ever live, the greatest player to ever play for the Baltimore Ravens. 2013, he helped the Ravens capture their first Super Bowl, and then in 2000, and then 2012, he helped them get another one. And then in that season, the 2012 season, he led the Ravens back to the Super Bowl. And in that Super Bowl win against the 49ers, which, if you guys don't remember, that was the Super Bowl where the lights went out, Ray Lewis had 7 tackles in his final game with a robotic sleeve on his arm to help the Ravens win. Next up, we got U.S. women's soccer legend Mia Hamm in 2004 in her final game. She had 2 assists in a 5-0 win in an international friendly against Mexico. Next up, 2003, we got Lennox Lewis, And most boxers decide when they want to retire. The decision usually comes when they realize they can't compete at a high level anymore. Lennox Lewis was able to retire on his own terms. He faced off against Vitali Klitschko in 2003. And it could have gone either way. And he defeated the Ukrainian in 6 rounds. Next up, we got Joe DiMaggio in his final game in 1951. He won a total of 9 World Series championships while with the Yankees, and his last championship came in the last game he ever played. The Yankees took on the New York Giants before they became the San Francisco Giants in the 1951 World Series. In Game 6 of the series, Joe DiMaggio got on base 3 times and notched a hit and 2 walks. And he ended his career as a champion, one of the greatest baseball players ever, and definitely one of the greatest, top five New York Yankees of all time. Next up, we move to 1969. We got Bill Russell. He impacted the NBA game in more ways than one, and he won a lot. And that's why when people talk about championships as a metric for who's the GOAT or not, when they're talking about Jordan and LeBron, nobody ever talks about the fact that Bill Russell won 11 championships while in the NBA. And his final title was won as both a coach and a player. He coached the team in 1969 and also scored 6 points for them in the championship game. Just, wow, that would never happen today. Next up, we got Ray Borroque. Great Boston Bruin in 2001, in his final game in the Stanley Cup Finals that year. He made the Stanley Cup Finals, and he helped the Colorado Avalanche win the Stanley Cup that year. After he was dealt late in the season, he was a 19-time NHL All-Star and winner of the Norris Trophy 5 times. Next up, 1955, we got Rocky Marciano. Very few boxers we talked about earlier with Lennox Lewis retire as champions, but the great Rocky Marciano did. He finished his professional career with a record of 49-0 with a total of 43 knockouts. His final fight was against Archie Moore at a sold-out crowd in Yankee Stadium, and Moore was able to knock him down early. Marciano eventually got back up and won in the 9th round. Next up on the list, 2013, Mariano Rivera from the New York Yankees. He pitched every year in the playoffs as his Yankees teams were often dominant. And in 2013, the Yankees did miss the playoffs. And the last innings thrown by Rivera against the Tampa Bay Rays were in a 2013 regular season finale. He faced 4 batters and retired all 4 in a game that the Yankees lost, and he was taken off the mound by teammates Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit. Next up, we moved to 2016. We got Landon Donovan, one of the greatest players to ever play for Team USA Soccer. Arguably the greatest to ever play for Team USA Soccer. He played for the LA Galaxy against the New England Revolution in the MLS Finals that year. He didn't score, but he served as captain of the champion team and captured his 6th championship. Only a couple more to get to here. Next up, we got the Admiral David Robinson in 2003. He was the first pick of the 1987 draft and didn't play until 1989 because of his commitment with the U.S. Navy. This guy is one of the best players to ever play for the San Antonio Spurs, and he had a Hall of Fame career. And in the Game 6 of the 2003 NBA Finals, he retired a champion with 13 points and 17 rebounds. And now we got to get to the greatest last game performance in sports history, undeniable. We got Kobe Bryant, the Mamba, RIP, dropping 60 points in his final game in 2016, and it was against a Jazz team, and some people will say, oh, the Jazz let him score all that much because it was Kobe's last game and the farewell tour and all that other nonsense. The Jazz needed to win that game to make the playoffs, and they The Jazz weren't going to sacrifice their season so that Kobe could have a good last game. They needed to win that game to make the playoffs. And Kobe put them out of their misery with 60 points. And that was definitely the greatest final game performance. Then he gave an epic post-game speech that ended with Mamba out. I miss Kobe more and more every day. I hated that episode a couple years back, right before COVID, where I had to talk about his death. That was one of the lower times that I've had on this show. But he's up there smiling down since I'm talking about how good he was. We will be back with the Red Zone after some news and weather.
You're currently listening to WMLU Student Programming. For the latest on news and weather and NPR programming, head to WMRA.org. For on-campus and community news, we encourage you to head to the Rotunda Online, home of Longwood University News. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Welcome back to the Red Zone, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Nick Robinson, and now for the first time on this show, we're going to talk about the USFL, United States Football League. I know it's been going for a couple weeks now, and now is the first time we're getting around to talking about it on the show. Looking at the division standings as of right now, the New Jersey Generals currently lead the North Division at 3-1. Poor Pittsburgh Maulers have still yet to win a game. The Birmingham Stallions are 3-0 right now on top of the South Division. Now let's look at the updated scores. The finals from yesterday and today, we're going to take a look first at the Philadelphia Stars defeating the Michigan Panthers by a score of 26-25. And the quarterback for the Philadelphia Stars went 22 of 30 for 190 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Great game by him. And the game was decided because the Michigan Panthers kicker could not make, I believe it was a 21-yard field goal at the very end. And that's why the Panthers lost to the Stars by 1. And it's what NFL kick, it's what happens just about every week with NFL kickers. And Shea Patterson, Michigan's quarterback, was the number one pick in the USFL draft, the very first player ever drafted into the USFL, has so far been a bust in the USFL, and yesterday was no different, going 9 of 17 for only 67 yards, a touchdown, and 3 interceptions. All that, and they still lost just because of their weak kicker. And then earlier today, the New Jersey Generals defeated the Pittsburgh Maulers 21-13. The Maulers remain the only winless team in the USFL. And they had a few quarterbacks. The Generals had two quarterbacks play. Deontay Johnson came in, went 9 of 10 for 98 yards and a touchdown. Luis Perez, the former MVP of the AAF, was 11 of 14 for 102 yards. And Moore had 3 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown for the Generals. And now let's take a look at the Mahler stats from earlier today. And their quarterback, Kyle Laletta, had a pretty, former Richmond Spider, had a pretty rough afternoon, going 15 of 32 for 169 yards, no touchdowns, and no interceptions. And he also rushed for 11 yards. They did have one guy, one receiver. Walker had 9 catches for 110 yards. Pretty good game there. And right now, there's a game live, and that is the Tampa Bay Bandits and the Birmingham Stallions. Currently, Tampa Bay leads Birmingham by a score of 10-7 at the half. Here's your first half stats. The first score was a touchdown pass from Jordan Ta'amu, 9 yards to get the Bandits on the board. Then Alex Magoo had a 1-yard touchdown run for the Birmingham Stallions. Then they had a a stop on 4th-and-1. Then Tampa Bay kicked a field goal later on in the first. And so that's why Tampa Bay is up 10-7. Be sure to keep up with Fox, NBC, and I think Peacock for the latest news in the USFL. And now we're going to move on over to the NHL. We're going to give you some scores from last night as the playoffs are in full swing. Last night, the Boston Bruins defeated the Carolina Hurricanes 4-3 to take the lead 2-1 in their first round series. The Toronto Maple Leafs defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2 to move to 2-1 in that series. The Minnesota Wild took a 2-1 series lead with a 5-1 win over the Blues. And the Edmonton Oilers whooped up on the LA Kings 8-2 to take a 2-1 series lead there. And then some of your NHL scores from earlier today. We had my Washington Capitals defending their home ice with a 6-1 beatdown of the top seed in the Eastern Conference by a final score of 6-1. And the underdog wildcard Capitals currently have a 2-1 series lead on the Florida Panthers. Game 4 is Monday in D.C. Game 5 is Wednesday in Florida, for which I will actually be in attendance. I haven't seen a Caps game since I was like 8 years old. And I'm going to Florida next week to celebrate being done with college. And my buddy CJ and I, we're going to go to Disney World. We're going to go to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, build us some lightsabers. And then the next day, we're driving 3 hours to Sunshine, Florida to watch the Caps and the Panthers in Game 5 of their opening round playoff series. I'm extremely psyched for that. I would love it. If I had it my way, this is how it would go. I would love it for the Capitals to win Game 4 on Monday and then to win the series in Game 5 while I'm there on the road against the top-seeded Panthers, but we'll just have to see how Games 4 and 5 go. But today was a very impressive showing for the Caps as they won 6-1 and took a 2-1 series lead. And I just noticed all throughout that series, the Caps have been very aggressive. You know, they've been shooting, they've been just getting a lot more shots on goal than the Panthers. Now, Florida's goalkeeper, their goalie, Bobrovsky, is a tank. Like, he's been really frustrating for the Capitals so far. But they've gotten a couple past him. And they got 6 past him today, but usually Bobrovsky's been a stud in the goal for the Panthers. And the Panthers had in previous games, while being outshot by the Caps, had made more of their shots that they've taken. But you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky always said that. And the Caps outshot the Panthers again today in dominating fashion. Hopefully they can get another win at home on Monday and then ice the series while I'm there on Wednesday. The Colorado Avalanche beat the Nashville Predators 7-3 earlier today to take a 3-0 lead in their series, so that might be the only sweep of the first round. And then later on tonight at 9:30, we got the Calgary Flames taking on the Dallas Stars in Game 3 of their series that is currently tied at 1 game apiece. Next up, we're going to move over to the MLB with some scores from last night. The Chicago White Sox defeated the Boston Bruins by a final the Red Sox by a final score of 4-2. The Milwaukee Brewers defeated the defending champion Atlanta Braves 6-3. The Houston Cheaters, Astros, defeated the Detroit Tigers by a final score of 3-2. They were probably stealing signs in that game too. The Minnesota Twins defeated the Oakland Athletics by a final score of 2-1. The Los Angeles Angels defeated the Washington Nationals by a score of 3-0. Ouch, my Nats are 9-19 to start this season. That is not ideal. Even the Flippin' Diamondbacks have a better record than us right now, as they won 4-1 over the Rockies. The San Diego Padres defeated the Miami Marlins 3-2. The Tampa Bay Rays defeated the Mariners 8-7. A lot of games got postponed last night. And the St. Louis Cardinals defeated the San Francisco Giants by a final score of 3-2. Here's all the games that got postponed from last night. Dodgers-Cubs, that got postponed. Pirates-Reds. Oof. I thought the Nats had it bad, but the Reds are 4-22 to start this season. And the Mets-Phillies, Rangers-Yankees, Blue Jays-Guardians, all those games got postponed. Let's take a look at the standings. I know we're a while until the MLB playoffs start or even the All-Star break, but see how things are going. Ah, the Nats are one of only four teams in the entire MLB that hasn't won 10 games yet. Or five, sorry. The Cubs have won 9. The Nats have won 9. The Royals and Tigers have each won 8. And the Reds are 4-22, so at least we don't have it as bad as they do. And then you look at the NL West. Every team in that division has a winning record right now. Even the Diamondbacks, who were in last place in that division, are still 14-13. So we'll have to keep an eye out on the NL West as the season goes on. And let's see what's going on right now in the MLB. Right now, in the bottom of the 7th, the Cleveland Guardians lead the Toronto Blue Jays by a score of 7-2. They got a runner on. In the bottom of the 5th, the Pittsburgh Pirates lead the Cincinnati Reds 7-5. In the bottom of the 4th, the San Francisco Giants have a 8-4 lead on the St. Louis Cardinals. And then we go over to Atlanta, top of the 6th, still no score, pitcher's duel there between them and the Brewers. In the middle of the 3rd, the Dodgers have a 4-1 lead on the Cubs. Top of the 3rd over in Arizona. Still no score there between the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. And some finals from today. The Reds won the first game of their doubleheader, getting their 4th win of the season by a score of 9-2 over the Pirates. The Dodgers defeated the Cubs 7-0. The Twins defeated the A's 1-0. God, that is a boring baseball game. 1-0. Ooh, I might fall asleep in that. I remember one time I went to a Norfolk Tides game, because that's the local team back where I'm from. They're a minor league affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. I went to a game on Father's Day, and they lost 1-0, and the first run was scored in the first inning. Literally the most boring sporting event I've ever been to. 1-0 in the first, the only run of the game was scored in the first inning. And it was by the other team, so the visiting team, so we even had to sit through, like, literally all 9 innings, the bottom of the 9th, too. Tide still couldn't get anything going that day. The Blue Jays defeated the Cleveland Guardians 8-3. The Astros won 3-2 over the Tigers. And the White Sox beat the Red Sox 3-1 in extras. And also, one more baseball score update before we get out of here. The Miami Marlins and the San Diego Padres literally just started, and they're in the top of the 1st in San Diego. We'll be right back with NBA performances of the week and to talk NBA playoffs after a quick public service announcement.
Guide Dog Partners bring greater freedom, confidence, and mobility. They are trusted friends that offer new opportunities for social interaction and greater independence. Guide Dogs of America is a nonprofit organization that provides these loyal and loving dogs free of charge to people who are blind or visually impaired. To learn more about Guide Dogs of America, visit our website at guidedogsofamerica.org or call us at 800-459-4843.
You are listening to WMLU Farmville 91.3 FM, the music of Longwood University and Farmville, Virginia. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We only got 15 more minutes of the red zone ever, and we're going to make the most of them. And next up, we're going to move on to the NBA because their playoffs are in full swing, and we're going to start our NBA segment with the last ever NBA performances of the week. On you with the pick and roll, Young and Flame here in sickle mode. this week's NBA performances of the week. First, we're going to throw it back to Monday, where Bam Adebayo had a double-double, 24 points and 12 rebounds for the Heat as they got off to a 1-0 series lead over the 76ers. Luka Doncic had 45 points and 12 rebounds in a losing effort against the Suns on Monday. Moving on now to Tuesday, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 28 points in a Game 1 loss to the Celtics because Jaylen Brown scored 30. Ja Morant dropped 47 on the Warriors in Game 2 of that series to help the Grizzlies even it up at 1 apiece. Moving on now to Wednesday, the Miami Heat took a 2-0 series lead on the 76ers behind 22 points and 12 assists from Jimmy Butler. Tyrese Maxey scored 34 for the Sixers, but it just wasn't enough. Luka Doncic balled out again, and the Mavericks lost again. With Luka had 35 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists, but they couldn't stop Phoenix from scoring 40 points in the fourth quarter. Chris Paul also had 28 points in that game. And moving on over now to Thursday, there were no playoff games on Thursday. Last night, though, Jimmy Butler had 33 points in a losing effort for the Heat as the 76ers got back in that series, evening it up 2-1. And Embiid scored Joel Embiid scored a double-double in his first game back from injury. And the Mavericks, just like to the 76ers, the Mavericks also showed that they were not going down without a fight as they defeated the Phoenix Suns in Game 3, 103-94, behind 28 points and 13 rebounds from Luka. And Jay Crowder was the leading scorer for the Phoenix Suns with only 19 points. That's what happens when you don't let them score 40 in the fourth quarter. And earlier today, the Bucks won a thriller against the Celtics by a final score of 103-101. Behind 42 points from the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, also with 12 rebounds and 8 assists. And they needed every bit of that. And the defending champs now have a 2-1 lead on the Boston Celtics. And that series has been fun to watch. I mean, these two teams are just NBA powerhouses. And so I asked in the final Red Zone poll ever, I asked my Instagram followers, will the winner of this Bucks-Celtics series win the Eastern Conference? And here are the results. 81% said yes, and 19% said no, that the winner of this Celtics-Bucks series will end up winning the Eastern Conference. I am going to side with the majority here. I do believe, I mean, yes, Miami has been coming in red hot, and the Celtics and Bucks is probably going to go to 7 games. They're probably going to tire each other out, which would help the winner, obviously, of the Miami-Philly series. But Joel Embiid's banged up. I just think Boston, with them sweeping Brooklyn in the first round, that was a statement win. That was a huge statement that they made. Milwaukee's obviously the defending champs. You can't mess with them. When Giannis is on one, just don't even bother showing up. And so I do believe that whoever wins this series will defeat either the Heat or the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals and probably face Golden State or Phoenix in the NBA Finals. But speaking of Golden State, not doing so hot right now, folks. Right now in the first quarter, as we speak, they are down 18-8 in Game 3 of their series with the Memphis Grizzlies, although Ja Morant had to score 47 for the Grizzlies to win last time. That was the performance of the week. But again, it's early on, so the Warriors could still turn it around, but right now, as of the airing of this episode, they are down by 10 against the Memphis Grizzlies. And in the final 10 minutes of the Red Zone, earlier this week I made a little video of and highlighted all of my best moments some of my best moments from my 4 years on the air and made a little like music video tribute out of it. Listening, like going back and making that video, I was like, geez, I was pretty mean to some athletes, like especially Johnny Manziel. I mean, Manziel deserved it, but like there's a part you'll hear in this where I was ripping into him. But it was very nostalgic going back and listening to all these previous episodes and then adding some music to it, See You Again by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth. Literally has been played in like pretty much like every sad video since Fast and Furious 7 came out, which, God, they're still making those movies. They're still cursing humanity with those movies. I don't care if you don't like Fast and Furious. I don't care if you like Fast and Furious. They should have stopped a long time ago. I'm literally expecting them to cross over with Star Wars at this point. And so here is my last like tribute video. This won't close out the show. I'm still going to talk a little bit. But here's a little video that I made for myself and all of you. So here's the Red Zone final tribute video. You're listening to WMLU Farmville 91.3 FM, the music of Longwood University and Farmville, Virginia. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Red Zone. As always, I'm your host, Nick Robinson, and we have a lot to get to today. Kyler Murray came in. I think either he or Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama are going to win the Heisman Trophy. Kyler Murray has looked outstanding. He's looked just as good as Baker Mayfield. I saw a run he made last week where it looked like everyone else was running in slow motion. This guy crosses half court and he's in range. Sometimes he doesn't even have to cross half court to get in range, which is ridiculous. Just take the NFC East playoff spot
just,
away
like, take,
and give
just,
it to
like,
somebody
take the
else.
NFC East and just like take it out of the NFL
for this season. Yeah, because the entire division's a joke. The baseball team is coming off of an absolutely dominant win over Norfolk State on Tuesday by a final score of 24-1. Ouch. And last week, the Browns lost to the Buccaneers when the Buccaneers tried several times to hand them the game, but the Browns just wouldn't take it. The Buccaneers are like, here's the game. Please beat us. No one's really sure how that one's going to turn out, you know? It's kind of like an unstoppable force against an immovable object. But I think Jacksonville will take this in a win that made all of baseball except the Houston metropolitan area happy, because the Braves haven't won since the 90s. We all know the Astros are a bunch of cheaters. And so everybody won. Baseball won. Kicking off performances of the week this week, we're going to throw it back to Tuesday, where Joel Embiid dropped 45 points and 13 rebounds in a win over the Pacers. And we're going to continue with our list of the top 10 scariest sports figures of all time to regain any source of national credibility. They need this win against Notre Dame. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, is back. And even Canada didn't want him. You know, that's what I was talking with my buddy Jack earlier. I was like, dang. You know, Canadians are pretty nice, but even they didn't want to put up with this crap anymore. This little twerp doesn't deserve another shot at playing professional football. Klay Thompson dropped 33 points on the L.A. retirement home. That's L.A. for you. That's the Lakers this year for you. Geriatrics or no names. Boy, do the Hokies need this one. Sorry, any Hokies fans listening, but y'all know that you need this one. You know, considering the fact that they lost to an 0-3 Old Dominion team, and Old Dominion was starting, their quarterback was making their first ever start. My best friend goes to ODU, and he was telling me how much of a madhouse it was after they beat Virginia Tech. Even though Florida's a ranked team, this is the easiest game LSU's going to have for a little while. Because next week they're playing Georgia, the week after they're playing Mississippi State, and then after that they're playing Alabama. I'll see you next week, folks. This is Nick Robinson for the Red Zone. Signing off. I hope you all enjoyed that just as much as I enjoyed making it. here. And oh, literally, I was just talking a minute ago about the Warriors coming back, and wouldn't you know, now they're only down by 8. The score is 23-15 at the moment in favor of the Memphis Grizzlies. So the Warriors aren't quite back in that one just yet. But they're coming. They're coming back. And over the last couple minutes of the show, I'm just going to ramble a little bit, thank everyone who's helped me along the way, because this show and this organization that helped me get this show, WMLU, have just been a part of me for the last 4 years. I wanted to join WMLU from before I even got to Longwood, and they were posting in the Class of 2022 Facebook page. And I knew immediately, like, I was literally making the show ideas, show names over the course of the summer heading into my freshman year at Longwood, so I was ready to hit the ground running with the Red Zone as soon as I got here. And shortly after the Red Zone started airing, it became what I was known for around campus. People knew me as the voice of the Red Zone, like, especially people around the station. I've won awards with this show at the WMLU Media Ball. This show's won Best Talk Show twice in its runtime at the Media Ball. And I'm definitely going to keep those trophies no matter what other awards I win throughout my life. I'm definitely going to keep those ones. And it was truly an honor to bring you guys the latest in Longwood and national sports news for the last 4 years. It would always be something that I looked forward to at the end of the week. After a long, stressful week, I would get to come on the air and share my passions with all of you. And, you know, just looking at this little listeners thing that we have here in the station and just seeing that people were listening no matter where they were. Whenever the map expands out, you see sometimes people listen from like Europe, from over there in like Finland. I've seen some listeners from Ireland, the United Kingdom, and then a couple people stateside in Virginia, obviously, Florida, Texas. And if you've ever listened to the Red Zone, whether this is the first time you've ever listened to the show or you've been a loyal follower for the last 4 years, thank you for coming on this journey with me. It's really been a pleasure. The Red Zone has made me a lot better of an on-air host and prepared me for a professional career in the news and journalism field. And thank you to every guest star that's ever been on the show. I thanked all the Longwood athletes earlier, but we've had a couple other people on the show. Jack, you've heard me mention him a lot. He was one of my best friends. And he was my sweet mate my freshman and sophomore year. Garrett, who, even though Garrett, you only came on one time, still thank you for coming on that one time when we were all sweet mates freshman year. Dylan McKercher, Dr. and Dr. Naomi, it was a pleasure having them on last year when we were talking about the Super Bowl. Since Dylan's a Bucks fan, Dr. Naomi's a Chiefs fan. And so it was nice to get them two on the show to talk about the Super Bowl that year. My friend and fraternity brother, Jake Christ, it was a pleasure having you on the show that one time. And, wow, I guess that's all the guest stars. I thought I had more people on than that, but I guess not. Well, you guys know the drill. The show's going to end with Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. And so before we get out of here, I should probably explain why that's been the song that I've ended every episode with since the Red Zone started. One, I just love the song. I love Journey. And two, because I want its message to resonate with people after they've just listened to my show. To never stop believing in yourself and what you can accomplish. because I never thought I would be able to do this, but I never stopped believing. And so with my parting words, my final words on the Red Zone, I want you all listening to promise me something, that you will never stop believing either. And no matter what you want to do, don't stop believing either. One more time. This is Nick Robinson for the Red Zone, signing off. Stop.